commencing countdown. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
What an incredible smell, you scum!
Dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This ain't happening.
Inconceivable!
Autobots, transform!
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode number 11.
Malevolently making mute movies manifest the myopic.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And we have one quick announcement this week. We finally got word from Adam. He was apparently in the Arctic working on secret research for the government. But clearly I'm just lying. This is not true.
It would have been cooler if he was, though.
It would have, but unfortunately he was just fighting space monsters in his backyard.
That's not his soul.
No, it's kind of mundane. I mean, come on. I mean, that kind of crap happens all the time. So, whatever. Totally. So he's kind of stepping back a bit, and he's going to focus on basically slaying space monsters, which I think is kind of a sad job because he doesn't even get paid well doing it, but whatever. Floats his boat, right?
Totally.
Yeah. You know, he gets paid like $5.30 an hour. It's not even minimum wage where he lives.
Yeah, but it does mean that I get to step in and take over.
Yeah.
Fanty. Officially, I am Fanty.
Yeah. Well, we're permanently stuck with the STD, so...
Yay!
Yay, just like getting crabs. Woo, yay! Anyway, so that's kind of what's going on. Jen's going to stick around for a while, unless we get a lot of hate mail about her.
So please send us hate mail.
Yeah, actually, I would like to get some hate mail. That would be lovely.
Please.
I would get joy from that, actually. I would read it out loud at unexpected moments during the podcast just to drive down your self-esteem.
Mine?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that? Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. So please. It'd be great. It'd be like all of a sudden I'll just go, oh, I just thought I should read this line about you, Jen. And you're like, oh. You know, it'd be really good and demoralizing. So anyway, so that's the whole deal with that. So this week, we've got lots of interesting news, or at least semi-interesting, or I don't know, maybe it's not interesting at all. Who knows? And we're going to talk about a lot of movies this episode, because
a movie
came out, and we'll be talking about that later. But for now, I'm going to let Jen start us off with news.
All right. First up, we've got some pretty cool news. Sean, and a few weeks ago, was able to interview the crew from the web series Universal Dead. And the exciting news out of that sector is that they have a film deal with Paramount. And we'll be releasing a film hopefully sometime next year. Unfortunately, that means that we don't get to watch the show anymore. So I'm not really sure if I'm actually happy about this, because they left it on kind of a cliffhanger that was kind of cool. And now I have to wait a whole year, at least, to get a full-length feature film.
Yeah, but...
But it's good news for them.
It's good news for them, and also it kind of saves us from having to go through the annoyance of waiting like 3 weeks between each episode, because now we know we're getting the whole package when it's done.
Yes, we will get the whole package. We have no idea about any details, if they'll be recasting, if it'll remain a low budget. But it's very exciting that a web series, and possibly one of the first, maybe the first web series, to be making the jump to full-length feature film.
Yeah, I can't think of any other examples of it happening, but yeah, and it'll be really interesting, and I like Universal Dead, and there's three episodes up right now that you can watch, which is about, I don't know, like 20 minutes or something worth of show.
At the most.
Yeah. But in the meantime, because I've actually seen one of their other shows that these same guys did, if you guys have not seen The Crusader, it's by the same folks, I think it's like watchthecrusader.com.
It's hilarious.
Freaking hilarious. I laughed out loud. I laughed my butt off watching this. And it's just a short web series. It's like 8 episodes of like 6 or 7 minutes each. And they're hilarious. So you
Indeed.
Can watch that instead. So it's really good news from them. And I hope I hope it works out for them.
It's also good. It's good news for anybody who produces web shows, because it shows that there is a market, and it's a big market. So
I wouldn't say exciting. Big.
It's big enough that a major motion picture company is picking them up. I mean, it's web shows are getting a lot more attention than they were, you know, even 6 months ago, a year ago.
That's so. True. That's true. Although there's still a lot of absolute garbage.
Granted. But that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You heard that The Legend of Neil is coming back for a final season, yes?
I have never watched The Legend of Neil, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. I will be making you watch that soon.
Excellent.
It's a total ripoff of Legend of Zelda.
Oh!
Filthy and hilarious.
Sounds good to me.
Felicia Day does make an appearance.
Oh, well, that's very exciting.
Yeah, so I'll make you watch that. Yeah, it just debuted. I haven't watched the new episode yet. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, so that's the good news for the Universal Dead guys. Hopefully it works out well for them. Hopefully they get like $10 billion to make a movie like they did with Cameron. So, you know, might as well, if you throw it out for garbage, you might as well give it to people with actual talent. So, Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not an Avatar fan.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Why don't we move on to the next bit of news that is more exciting to you than it is to me?
Which one is that?
New Battlestar Galactica series.
Oh! I totally just had a happy moment.
Yes.
I forgot that that one was next. I thought that was at the end. And then, and then it's Battlestar. I got, like, really happy. Like,
yeah.
If I had a tail, it would be wagging right now like a dog. Oh, you just made me just, Okay. Yes, so... So, news is just kind of filtering through the pipeline or whatever that sci-fi, swifey, swiffle-doofle, whatever the hell they're calling themselves now with the Ys. They are now going to have a short mini-series expanding upon the Battlestar Galactica stuff by doing a, I guess you would call it a prequel or...
It is. But it's a after Caprica prequel, so...
Right. It's during the Cylon War. And it's going to involve Adama. I almost said Obama. Why did I almost say Obama? That was weird. It's going to involve Adama, a young Adama, obviously, because Edward James almost is like 200, and so he can't play his younger self. But it'll involve a younger Adama during the Cylon Wars, and it's kind of giving us a perspective into sort of what makes the man tick, why he is who he is, and so on, which we don't get so much in the series. We get a little glimpses of it, but not enough. In this case, we're getting the full story, and there's going to be 10 episodes, about 10 minutes each. Yeah, and it's called Blood and Chrome, by the way, and it's going to be great.
I hope so, for your sake.
It better be.
Otherwise, I think you might die from lack of Battlestar Galactica newness.
I will explode. I will quite literally explode if they mess this up.
Exactly. I mean, you know, in terms of... the getting his motivations and whatnot, you do have some of that in Caprica, but probably not enough. And they had disappointingly low ratings in their first season. So, you know, they have been greenlit for a second season for Caprica, but it looks like sci-fi is not relying on that to keep the franchise alive.
I don't know. I had a lot of issues with Caprica. I thought there was a lot of interesting ideas there. I just felt like they tried to deepen the canon too much.
They may have, but I was really enjoying it, most of it. I really enjoyed the Taurons, the vision of the Taurons in Caprica, and a little bit less of the daughter / first Cylon girl. Not a big fan of hers, but...
Yeah,
it was worth watching, and I haven't watched Battlestar Galactica, so I'm coming at it from a totally fresh perspective. Granted, that makes me an idiot, but I'm waiting until the end of Caprica, the actual official, we're not showing any more episodes in, and then I'll go watch Battlestar Galactica.
No, you need to go watch Battlestar Galactica.
Probably.
Start.
Okay.
Immediately.
Right away.
Do
I'm
it.
On it.
Your homework for next week is you need to be through the first... 3 seasons.
Okay.
By next week.
Okay.
I'll be there before you will.
Okay.
Because I'm already watching it for like the 7th time in a row, so.
I know. There's something wrong with you.
No.
Anyway, so I think it's pretty cool that sci-fi's doing a web series. I don't know if they have any other web series. So it looks interesting. I'm a big fan of, you know, war stories. So, and I think that's where they're growing with the Blood and Chrome. So Should be interesting.
It should be interesting, although the one thing that I'm apprehensive about is that it says that they will be filming using green screens and virtual sets, which knowing...
That kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, but at the same time, like, sci-fi has a very poor record of doing that well.
Sanctuary, their show Sanctuary actually looks pretty good.
No, I thought the first episode was awful.
I haven't watched that much of it, but in terms of the sets, they weren't too bad, so...
I guess maybe I'm just a nitpicky son of a gun when it comes to CG.
You are kind of a nitpicky son of a gun when it comes to pretty much everything.
Yeah, when I just don't like CG. If you're going to use CG, it needs to look real or don't use it at all.
Sci-fi doesn't exactly have the budget for CG that looks real.
Then you need to do real sets. Sorry.
But then they couldn't have any shows.
Then they should probably go back to playing reruns. Like they used to do when the channel was actually the Sci-Fi Channel and they played all the old classic sci-fi
whatever movies
and had Godzilla
Eureka and Warehouse 13 are freaking awesome. Get over it.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah, they used to play that. They used to have Godzilla friggin'
Will
marathons.
You stop ranting about sci-fi. It's really sad.
You make me.
Just kidding. Anyway, our next bit of news, back to Hollywood. Pretty exciting because I think both Sean and I are pretty big fans of Guillermo del Toro. I assume you're a fan anyway.
I like some of his work, sure.
Some of his work?
Yes, just some of his work.
Actually, the only thing I've seen of his is Pan's Labyrinth. And that was freaking brilliant. And that's all I needed to see. Anyway, Guillermo del Toro is going to be making H.P. Lovecraft's At the Mountains of Madness. So good news for the literary sci-fi geeks of the world. And good news for movie fans, because it should be a bit of a horror. It should have Cthulhu. And it should be slightly awesome.
We hope.
Hopefully. Except that it has James Cameron producing and it's going to be in 3D. Aww. Yeah, I know. Two things that I'm like, whatever, don't really care about. But I think it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be a period piece. He has insisted that it be rated R. So he's gotten his way on a couple of, you know, sticking points.
That's good.
And I think those are the sticking points that will actually produce a decent film. So,
yeah, see, the problem with Lovecraft, at least the films that I've seen, is there's two ways that people go about it. They try to contemporalize or modernize it so it fits more with the modern audience, or they try so desperately to keep within Lovecraft's time, within the technology of the time. And the problem is in the latter case, they're usually god-freaking-awful. Like, silent movies were not really good movies even when they were silent movies.
No.
They were usually very bad.
Yes.
Because they didn't
They had elements of good, but, you know.
Yeah. And I've seen some god-awful silent movies. But, and the problem is when you try to translate, like, modern acting to silent movie, it comes off as overly dramatic and not at all terrifying.
I have a feeling, if anybody's capable of handling horror, it's Del Toro.
Yeah, which is what I'm thinking is maybe he's going to somewhat modernize Lovecraft's stuff, the Cthulhu mythos. I'm assuming this is one of the Cthulhu mythos, right?
Yes, it is. It's, okay. Yeah. I believe so, right. Anyway. They do. They find the Elder Gods in the South Pole. So scientific expedition to it. So, no, I mean, it'll be interesting. Oh, and then it is going to be... I don't know where they're going to film it, but it is going to actually take place in Antarctica, as the original story is. So it's going to be a dark, terrifying, you know, polar adventure, and hopefully better than Alien versus Predator. I've got high hopes for this. I think I need to go read the book, but, you know, Cthulhu fans have been rather... Lovecraft fans have been clamoring for this film for years, and they're finally going to get it. So
a major motion picture version, not a indie film with low budget or whatever. Like, they want a full-on film.
A full-on film, and they're getting it, and they're getting it with a good starting crew. So
yeah, and I think Del Toro could pull it off. We'll see. But yeah. I think he could pull it off. It depends. I don't know. But I guess it really depends on the script he gets. He's not writing the script, right? He's just getting a script.
I'm not entirely certain. He may actually have a hand in writing, so.
Oh, well, alrighty then.
I haven't heard anything about who the writer is of this, so we'll see.
Well, whatever then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows?
Hopefully it turns out pretty good. If not, then we will send hate mail.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we're big fans of around here.
Of course, we love hate mail. Hate is good. Spread it around.
And that's all for our news.
No, we got one more.
No, we don't.
Gaiman.
I thought we weren't going to talk about Gaiman.
No, we were going to talk about him.
Oh.
You said you wanted to talk about him, so you talk, lady.
Well, I already closed the link.
Well, then I will talk about him. All right, so Neil Gaiman, the Hugo Award-winning and best-selling author, has completed a screenplay for the big-screen version of Anansi Boys. Apparently, what happened was he had expressed interest in doing it, and then Hollywood producers came to him and told him they were interested in making a movie and then offered him a chance to adapt the script, and guess what? That's exactly what he did. So, and apparently he was inspired by, like, the BBC radio production-y things.
Of American Gods, specifically.
Yeah. And, so. Which is pretty cool. So, there, it looks like maybe we're going to get an Anansi Boys movie.
Most Neil Gaiman books translate well onto the big screen. They're, you know, short and nicely contained. I would actually prefer a American Gods film because I think it was the better of the two books. And Anansi Boys is a follow-up, theoretically, to American Gods. But it was a beautiful story. You'll actually have a African-American cast unless they do some race bending for it. And it's, you know, it's partially set in the Caribbean, partially in Britain, and some of it's in the United States, so in the Deep South. And I'm looking forward to that sort of adventure, something a little bit different than what Hollywood usually does. And if anybody can, you know, adapt it, Neil Gaiman obviously can. Yeah. So I'm actually pretty excited about this one. Like I said, I would have preferred American Gods. I think it's the better of the two stories. But Anansi Boys is probably easier to adapt than American Gods was. So hopefully it'll be live action. I don't want it to be another animated film.
Yeah, it should be live action just because it's more of an adult book. It's not one of his kids' books.
Right. And there's just no reason to do it animated. But
yeah,
I suppose it could be, but it would be kind of strange.
Well, we'll see what they do with it. But, you know, it's Hollywood. They'll probably make them all, like, Chinese.
Anansi Boys. Anansi, a thoroughly African god, suddenly Chinese. That would be definitely interesting.
And in polka dots.
And in polka dots.
I'm just saying, this is Hollywood. I'm in tune with the sort of Hollywood mentality. I know what they think.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's like my daughter did the Anansi and the Moss-Covered Rock play at school last year. So it's something that, you know, people actually are familiar with Anansi, however peripherally they might be familiar with the god. You know, he's a typical trickster, and Anansi Boys follows his sons. So it's a cool story, and I think it could do well as a film. I think it could do well in the United States as a film.
I'm surprised that your daughters were allowed to do that. Didn't the religious crazies come out? Because that's like evil, like worshiping other gods. You're making the kids do a play about her.
I live in California.
Doesn't mean anything. There's religious crazies everywhere.
Not on the coast of California.
The Westboro Church is in San Diego.
In San Diego, but they're
probably
not based
still
there.
They probably couldn't get a train ride back.
And I guarantee if they showed up in my daughter's school, they would get their handed to them. But regardless, no, there's no religious crazy saying, you know, no, can't be in the play. It's anti-Christian.
Satan.
If they had shut up and said that to me, though, I probably would have punched them.
Very tolerant, Jen.
Very. Incredibly tolerant.
Clearly just the most tolerant person in the world. Free speech. Yay.
I'm tolerant of non-idiots.
Which is like 99% of people are the idiots in your book. So
basically.
You're like tolerant of like three people on the planet. Four. Yeah. Four.
And you're not one of them.
No, four. I'm one of them. I'm clearly one of them. You're two daughters and at least one other member of your immediate family and me.
Yeah, I think that's just it's too many.
No, that seems about a fair number. I mean, we know you don't tolerate.
Okay. Very well. You're right. It might actually go up to 10, but you know.
I don't think it's 10. I think it's 4, and I'm definitely one of those 4.
You're one of those 4.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Keep telling yourself that.
I will. Anyway, we're rambling about crap that doesn't matter now. So that's basically our movie news. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our porno music, and then we are going to come back, and we were going to talk about Inception for a few minutes. At least that's the plan, but every time we say, we'll just talk about this for a few minutes, we end up talking for like 2 days. We'll talk about Inception, and then we're going to talk about our favorite science fiction movies. So once we come back, that's what you're going to get stuck with. All right, we'll be back. And we're back with our main segment today, which we're going to talk briefly about Inception, because that movie is freaking awesome.
Indeed. I absolutely loved it.
I've seen it twice now.
And I got to see it with my two children, which was interesting. But my older one said it was awesome. And my younger one was very proud of the fact that she could follow it. So there's something there.
She should be very proud of that, because it's not exactly a simple movie.
No, it's not a simple movie. And I told them beforehand, I warned them. I was like, okay, this is going to be a complicated movie. This is going to be the type of movie that you have to pay attention to. You have to pay attention to the details. And their concern that it would be was that it would be like Primer, which is the time travel film that came out a few years ago, an independent movie.
Right.
That is so convoluted that we literally had to look up the Cliff Notes for and watch 3 times before we finally got it. This movie isn't nearly as complicated as that.
No.
But the kids were concerned that that's what it was going to be like, so they went in with, you know, a little bit of trepidation, but they came out very excited about the movie, with good reason. It was fantastic. It had a perfect blend of intelligence and action and mind.
I have to bleep that out, you jerk. It's more work for me, damn it.
I'm sorry. It's the only appropriate word. It was a total mind.
Stop it.
Sorry.
I have to bleep those.
I know you do.
We have to be clean. Anyway. Otherwise, iTunes will like put us in the evil bin.
Yeah. Obviously. So, Inception is Christopher Nolan's newest film. And he's known for doing movies that make you think.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Memento in there, and we've got The Prestige. Both films that had kind of a trick ending and are very much about illusion. And
yeah.
He follows that theme here and incredibly well. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio.
They don't know who it stars.
They don't know who it stars.
No, they can look it up.
They finally know who it stars.
These are science fiction people. They knew about this movie 6 months ago.
6 months ago, that's true. Anyway, my favorite character, can I just say?
Sure.
I think the breakout role in this, to me, finally, I respect him, is Gordon Levitt. Joseph Gordon Levitt.
He was really good in this.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
I could have cared less about everybody else. I thought Eames was great, the guy who played Eames.
Hardy.
Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yeah.
He was, I mean, really, the entire cast was great. I love Ken Watanabe.
Yes.
Love him.
He was fantastic. The whole cast was just fantastic, particularly the
really
main cast.
It really was.
Yeah.
The only one I could have cared less about was the girl, so whatever.
Ellen Page, I didn't think it was her best performance, but it was a strong performance, I thought.
It was, indeed. Marion Cotillard was also terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
God, was she good.
She was creepy.
She was very, very creepy.
Very creepy. Yeah, it was really well done, and I already wrote a review of it, like, a week ago, basically raving and ranting about how much I liked it, and then I had to find something that I didn't like with it, just because I just felt I was being too good to it. But the movie is absolutely freaking brilliant.
It is. It deserves all the rave reviews it's getting.
Yeah.
I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, for instance.
Critics are wrong, by the way. Anybody who gives this movie less than a 90%... is a moron.
Did you read the Rex? What was his name? Rex Reed review.
Was he the? He's not the Village Voice guy, is he?
I don't know. The New York, New York Magazine or something. It calls Nolan a hack and this terrible movie, and it was the dumbest, most hilarious review I've ever read. But
was it pretty clear that he just didn't understand what happened?
Didn't understand anything. Doesn't get Christopher Nolan. Basically, it was just a bunch of vitriol. The guy's just bitter, probably because he had a failed acting career. Who knows?
Or maybe because he went into the movie and he was the only one that didn't get it.
Probably. You know, it's like I said, my 8-year-old got it. So it's not exactly like it's difficult to understand. I mean, it's a little bit hard to follow.
There's a lot of rules. I think...
Right, there are rules, and that's actually, I think, one of the best analysis that I read was, it's a freaking dream. Dreams can't have rules, so
no.
That whole rule idea is kind
of... See, this is the problem, is I keep hearing this argument that against this movie that, oh, these are dreams, and so somehow like they're too methodical, and it's like, well, that's because people are building these dreams.
No. What I'm saying is that in terms of the analysis, it's not that... There can't be rules. It's that it's further proof that the entire film is a dream somehow.
Not quite sure, because most of the rules are followed.
Kind of, except that the rules are also slightly open to interpretation, like the totems.
Yeah, but we don't want to give too many details, cause just in case there's people who haven't seen it yet.
Oh, fine.
I don't want to give them details. We shouldn't give them
any of the plot. I'm not giving any details. I'm not. But,
this is a movie where they gave you so little to work with in the trailers, because if they had given you too much, it would ruin the movie.
I don't think more details would have ruined the movie for me. But... Well,
I guess it'd be really hard to give you more details and even make it make sense.
Right, but it is a brilliant premise. These guys are...
Well, they're various things. The main character is a secret thief, where he goes into your dreams, and he basically manipulates you to give away whatever secret he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his job, and there's another job that they come to, which I don't think we should give the details of specifically, but... Where he needs to do something even more complicated and dangerous than he's done before,
right.
Which is called Inception, but we're not going to say anything else other than that, because that's the title of the movie and that's what it's all about. And there's, I think the trailers give a fairly clear idea. There's something going on where he has something that he can't get to, that he needs to do this job for to be able to get. And that becomes very clear in the movie, what he's trying to achieve.
Right.
And I do kind of agree with critics that there is the emotional tone does not quite get to the level that I think it should have. It's there, but it's not as high, I think, as it could have been.
Agreed. Only because I think it worked for Leonardo DiCaprio, but a lot less with the other characters. I did feel the character development with Leonardo DiCaprio, but a lot less with, for instance, Cillian Murphy's character, which I think I would have preferred more of an emotional connection with him as well. And I didn't quite get that. The other characters, you don't really need to have an emotional connection to them.
Right. I don't know. See, the thing with the Cillian Murphy character is it's all I don't want to ruin that, but it's all sort of, it's very, oh gosh, is contrived the right word?
Yes.
What happens to him, it's contrived?
Well, everything in the film is contrived to an extent.
But I just mean, like, it's more so, more contrived, like that whole thing is contrived. It's not the same thing as what happens with, for example, with the main character, Cobb, in which his emotional, what goes on with him, that's not necessarily contrived. That's an actual evolving situation for him. Nothing is, at least unless you buy the argument that it's all a dream, in which I don't. I think that's just stupid. But I mean, if you take that at face value, then his is an actual development, whereas with the Cillian Murphy character, it's not necessarily. It's a completely fabricated
it's planted
thing.
It's fabricated, right, exactly. Well, except that it, you know, and I'm one of the ones that is kind of arguing for the dream, it being the whole thing being a dream, and if you go with the end goal of what they're doing with Cillian Murphy's character, the whole idea of catharsis, that also works. It parallels Cobb's journey to an extent.
Yeah, I guess.
So, plus you have all the little details. So, by the way, folks, I mean, this movie is definitely about the details. There are things that you might want to pay attention to that you probably won't think about when you walk into the movie theater. Things like, when is Leonardo DiCaprio wearing a ring?
Oh, I didn't pay attention to that.
Exactly. What does the music remind you of? Which, granted, Duke slightly disagrees on, but... it's there, and it's not as just, it's, you know, it's open, it's wide open. There's the score that Hans Zimmer produced, and then a song by Edith Piaf that is throughout the film. And they are, in a sense, one and the same.
They're related. I don't say
they're, related.
They're one and the same.
Right.
I think that's going too far to say they're one and the same.
Then you have other things.
His score is a severe manipulation.
It is a manipulation, for
things
sure.
Things that exist within the French EDM song.
Yeah, right.
Just whatever. It's the French song.
The French song.
It's the French song. It's in French. Yeah. Song we know in English is No Regrets.
Right. Yeah. You have to pay attention to the names because they will fuel your theories. I don't know if Duke noticed the importance of the names, but... maybe he did. You have to pay attention to the totems, and...
yeah, you're giving too much. They can figure all that out. That's all.
No, you know, well, I mean, to an extent, except these are the things that by the end of it, they'll be going, holy crap, I totally should have paid attention to that. And so I'm just giving them some, you know, ideas.
I don't think the names thing is something that they necessarily have to pay attention to.
For theories, later on, totally.
Yeah, but...
just,
but
not necessarily pay attention to them, but think about them.
Come on, they're trying to make it seem like they're going to have to do, like... homework and take notes while they watch this movie.
You do.
No, you don't. You don't have to take notes to enjoy this movie.
No,
all you
don't.
Need to pay
Go
attention to, you, all you need to pay attention to is the basic plot and to understand the rules that they're establishing.
Yes.
Understand the worlds that they're trying to give you. And once you understand that, all of the complicated mess that comes later, it's
makes
not that
sense.
Hard to follow. It totally makes sense. Yeah. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's a very, very complicated movie, but it's certainly built up in layers, which makes sense when you see the movie, because that's quite literally what happens. But it's more the layers that's the issue. And when you kind of learn the rules with the characters of what's going on, and then that makes all of the layers make total sense.
Right.
For the most part, there are some bits that are kind of like wishy-washy, but whatever, it's Nolan, his whole ordeal. But the point is, this is a awesome movie. The visuals are amazing. Nolan is one of the few directors, I think, that actually knows how to do CG. 90% of Hollywood directors don't and should be summarily executed because they have completely destroyed film.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any point in time where I questioned the CG, and I don't think there was.
No, but that's because Nolan I mean, there are a couple areas where you know it's CG, like, you know.
Well, obviously, I mean, there are things that are impossible for them to have done without the CG.
Right.
But
right.
If you suspend disbelief and you go, this is all real, it looks real.
Right, right. And Nolan
incredible.
Was really intelligent in
yes.
using real life stuff alongside CG stuff. Right. So it becomes very seamless in a lot of the cases. Yeah, and apparently he literally, like, shoved Leonardo DiCaprio, like, in the middle of blizzard conditions. Like, well, not blizzard conditions, but there's a snow scene. And apparently they really, like, blew up a mountain to do the scene. They, like, caused the avalanche. Yeah. Yeah, they really caused, like, the avalanche you see in it. Like, I think that's the real avalanche.
Right.
That hers. It's not a big avalanche, so don't think, like, oh, there's going to be a massive avalanche and they all get drowned. No. That's not.
Although my kids did go in going, oh, there's lots of explosions. And I had to explain it. I'm like, no, there's not a lot of explosions.
No.
There's some explosions. There's enough explosions.
And that's the other thing. It's like he balances the action with the, I guess, the story, the sort of
the depth.
Serious aspects of it. Yeah, he really balances the two. And the action is amazing. I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is freaking awesome.
Yes.
Those scenes where he's fighting, I'm not going to say what the scenes are. I don't want you guys to just keeping the spoilers out. But the scenes where he's fighting are freaking cool. I don't know how
I think some of those are in the trailer. So they do have short clips of it in the trailer.
Pieces of that. But the whole scene is much longer.
It is. And it's incredibly well done. And the way they did it was... It's all real.
Yeah, it's all real. It just don't tell them how they did it, because
I'm not telling
them
how they did it. I'm just telling that they actually make it happen.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So anyway, so point is, if you guys have not seen Inception, you have to ignore Jen. You don't have to take notes.
Take notes.
No. Just go in.
Maybe the second.
Wired on caffeine, so that you can pay attention to the movie. It's not a movie that you can.
That's totally what I did too. I bought a coffee right before the film. I was like, I'm gonna need this.
It's not like going into like Transformers where you don't really have to pay attention to the plot. You do have to pay attention to what's going on, but it's not a movie where like you need to pay so much attention to all the intimate little details to actually enjoy the movie. You don't.
No, you don't need to pay attention. Right. You don't need to pay attention to those intimate little details to enjoy the film. But it makes it really interesting afterwards if you have paid attention to those details.
Sure. If that's what you want to do. Otherwise, just go into the film to enjoy a film. It's an amazing balance between all that is good about action and explosions and all those good things and depth of actual film telling story stuff.
Oh yeah.
The totally obviously I'm a film Nolan, critic, so the language I use is very film criticky.
Yeah, sure. It does prove that Nolan is currently the god of Hollywood.
Yeah, I think this is his masterpiece, but that's me.
So far.
I think this is the best thing he's done, and I didn't think he was going to be able to live up to Dark Knight, because Dark Knight is really, really, really brilliant.
Yeah, I don't get the people who think that Dark Knight is better than this one, to be honest.
I don't think it is. I think Inception's better.
It is.
I think part of what makes Dark Knight so good is just because Heath Ledger as the Joker is so freaking amazing as
Granted.
The Joker.
Right.
But the problem is Christian Bale isn't so great in Dark Knight.
Whatever. Hey, even diss my Christian Bale.
They made his voice all like super uber dark. Shut up. You can go have your American Psycho version of Bale with all covered in blood and with his butt
so
and sexy. All that. Yeah. Anyway, so this leads us into what is supposed to be our main discussion, which is we both came up with our top 10 favorite movies. Now, by favorite movie, we didn't mean movies that we considered to be the best science fiction movies. That's
not necessarily, although that does kind of play into my list, at least. You know?
Yeah, well, some of the ones on mine I consider the best science fiction movies, but mostly these are movies that we just thoroughly enjoy. They may be complete, utter garbage.
Right. And currently we don't know each other's list, so there should be interest.
We know certain ones show up, but we don't know where they are on the list. So we're going to go down one, you know, at a time each. Listing our top 10 from 10 to 1 of what are our favorites. So, again, it's not the, like,
this best... It's not a scientific list by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not the best movies in science fiction. It's the movies that are our favorites. Movies we like to rewatch, things like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, so we're going to start on number 10. Now, Jen, what is your number 10?
Stargate.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I like that movie, but it's bad.
I know. I'm totally, I will admit it, up and down. Stargate is not a great movie, but Stargate was an absolutely beautiful movie. It was
Visually, it was pretty good. Yeah.
Visually, it was amazing. I'm sorry. I love the story. I love the premise. The only thing I didn't like it, I think, was Kurt Russell's, you know, weird thing with the kid. If they had thrown that out, I think it would have been freaking amazing.
I think my favorite part of that whole movie is just the creepy voice from the Pharaoh guy alien.
God. That Jay Davidson. Creepy. Jay Davidson played the Pharaoh, and he was gorgeous. Okay, creepy. Now keep in mind that the film that I had seen Jay Davidson before this was The Crying Game.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll try to keep these
brilliant. Okay.
Fairly brief. Let's not have like 10-minute discussions on each one, or we'll be here.
Whatever. All right, your 10.
Yeah. All right, 9 number 10 is iRobot.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, and the reason is I like Will Smith in a lot of science fiction movies, and I didn't have a Will Smith on this list, so
you had to throw one in there.
I had to figure out on one that belonged there, and no, I think
Will Smith. I think I would have gone with Independence Day for Will Smith.
I like Independence Day, but I like iRobot. Oh, it was a hard choice though between those two. But I haven't seen Independence Day in so long, and iRobot I've seen like 10 times in the last year. So.
Oh well, then there you go.
But I just really liked iRobot. He gets a lot of cute lines, and he blows the crap out of robots, and there's stuff explodes and cool futuristic cars. It's kind of visually fun, and it's just I like it.
Okay, I can see that.
I want to hug Sunny. So.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so number 9. My number 9 is Ghost in the Shell.
Really?
I love Ghost in the Shell.
That's interesting. Why? I love Ghost in the Shell, too.
Really? And what is your number 9?
Starship Troopers.
Oh, okay. All right.
I really love Starship Troopers, but it's definitely still only my 9. I think Starship Troopers is one of the most brilliant sci-fi films ever.
Oh, it's not brilliant. It's not that brilliant.
Genius.
It's not genius.
No, it totally is genius, and nobody gets it.
I get it. It's just not genius.
It's genius.
It's thinly veiled.
It's Dr. Strangelove genius.
No, Dr. Strangelove is genius.
Okay, well, it's then brilliant. It's right below genius.
It's not. It's not brilliant. It's just a very fun, campy movie.
No, it is one of the best social satires ever.
Okay, whatever, lady. Ghost in the Shell's better.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, a lot of cool, like, invisible guys and, like, robot fights, and she blows up a friggin' tank, and then...
I agree.
And then Ghost in the Shell 2 comes later, and that one's actually pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I didn't like it anywhere near as much, though.
Yeah, no, it's kind of different. It's even more insanely cyberpunk. It just becomes crazy cyberpunk.
Yeah, but I didn't like her character as much in the second film.
She's not as present. She's kind of creepier. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so you're number 8.
Forbidden Planet.
I've never even seen that.
What? How could you not have seen Forbidden Planet?
From like 1957.
It Robbie the Robot. It's a great movie. Oh. You need to watch it. It's one of the founding science fiction space adventures. It's got everything. It's got a male volant force that, you know, is like inhabits the planet. It's got a mad scientist. It's got cool military guys. It's got a robot. It's got a hot chick. I mean, it's everything. It is perfect 1950s, 60s, whatever it was, camp, but done in a beautiful way with a great story.
All right. Well, I'll have to see it. I've never seen
it. To me, it's one of my founding. I had to put it in there. I had to put at least one of the old ones in because I grew up on old sci-fi. So
nothing on my list precedes the 70s.
I almost had Day of the Triffids in there, too. But
I like the book.
I love the movie. So
all right. Well, my number 8 is The Chronicles of Riddick. I love that freaking movie. I can't help it. I just really like it.
I do too, and I'm really totally looking underrated. Forward to another one. It is. I think, well, both of them are. I mean, Pitch Black gets a lot of attention, but I think Chronicles of Riddick is actually a cooler movie.
It's a totally different movie. You can't compare Pitch Black to it. Right. It's just not fair.
But I love the universe that's built in Chronicles of Riddick.
It's really fun. There's lots of cool, nifty stuff. There's like psycho tiger things that change colors and
so cool.
I mean, I think the only thing, like the Necromongers, I mean, it was okay. I mean, yeah, Necromongers. But there's so much cool stuff going on there. And, like, totally. That whole fight scene with the ship battle scene, you know, towards the beginning is just really cool.
Yes, it's an amazing movie.
It's just got a lot of good stuff. It's still got the Vin Diesel, like, kick-ass, you know, sort of almost ninja, like, stabby guy. And then, you know, it's all good. Yeah.
Totally. It's him being Riddick, which is, like, the only role he should ever play.
Yeah, but that's because he kind of is like Riddick in everything else he plays.
Exactly.
Except for when he does the kids' movies, he's less creepy, but...
Right. What's your 7?
My 7 is Aliens. Love Aliens. Always love Aliens.
It's a great movie.
It's my favorite of all of the Alien movies.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I like I said to you earlier, I think Alien is technically the better movie.
No.
But I still prefer Aliens.
But I also hate Ridley Scott, so...
And he didn't do Aliens?
No, James Cameron was Aliens.
Oh, that's right.
When James Cameron was still making good movies. Or when he started making good movies. I'm not sure which.
I think he's still making good movies, but that's...
No, Avatar was awful. utter filth. Anyway, number 7.
My number 7 just happens to be Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yay, we have something on our list.
It's just a good one, isn't it?
We have similar titles on our list. Well, then we don't have to talk about that because we already talked about it.
All right. Well, I've loved this movie since it came out, so I had to put it on there.
All right. So then you're number 6.
Stargate.
You already did Stargate.
Oh, my God. No wonder. Now I'm totally going to have to, like, fix this list. So you can go on to your number 6.
Well, my number 6 is Total Recall.
I can't talk to you anymore.
I love Total Recall.
I know.
It's visually really impressive, though.
Yes.
It's visually impressive, and look, I mean, it's not a deep story, but it's a story that makes some sort of sense. And it's just fun Arnold beating the crap out of people.
Yeah, and that's always cool.
And I like that.
I'm sorry.
You know, and he's got his shirt off half the time. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Arnold's muscles kind of scare me. Like, I wouldn't want to be his son, because that would be really scary.
Now I don't even know what to put on here.
Yeah, you totally messed it up.
All right.
What's your number 6 now?
Tron.
That's an all right movie.
It is. And it's one of my childhood favorites. That's really, that's why I have to put it in there. Because, one, it's awesome. Two, it had this super cool computer-generated world, which was my inspiration for years on everything. It was like, to me, that was like the first cyberpunk.
Woo! Go cyberpunk!
You know, obviously there had been books before that, but that was the first really, to me, cyberpunk-y film. It was the first one that imagined cyberspace, and therefore it's freaking awesome. And I'm so excited about the new movie.
Yeah, I hope the new one's good, but it'll probably suck.
I know.
Which is really sad, because it should be good, but, you know, whatever. All right, so you're number 5, then.
Aliens.
Woo! Go! We got double time! We got two that meet up. This is awesome.
Mostly because I'm madly in love with the guy who played...
Corporal Hicks!
Hicks. Michael Biehn.
Michael Biehn, who charged them some god-awful amount of money to use his likeness in the third Alien movie. Because he was pissed. Because originally the third Alien movie was supposed to be about Corporal Hicks. There was going to be two movies. There was going to be two movies about Corporal Hicks.
Why didn't they go with that? That would have been amazing.
That's what everybody else is saying. In fact, even James Cameron said that what they ended up doing with Aliens 3 was like a slap in the face to everybody else. Because that's what it was. It was awful.
It was awful.
They totally killed off characters. Why didn't they just say, why don't they bring everybody back, but they set it somewhat in the future? Because everybody would have aged the same.
They should have kept Hicks and Newt. Totally.
I just don't understand. Or at least, I mean, it would have been nice to see a Corporal Hicks, you know, ordeal. But whatever. Jackass.
So good. I've had a crush on Michael Biehn for literally 25 years.
He doesn't act anymore.
I know.
He's like disappeared. Anyway, so my number five is Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yep. It's number five because it's not my favorite of the Star Wars movies. I'm going to get a lot of flack for that. Of the original Star Wars movies, it's a million times more favorite than the prequels. So we got that clear.
God, yes.
Yeah, I just so don't you guys don't think like the next four are all Star Wars. No,
I would really hope not.
I like Empire a lot. It's grown on me more as I got older. I hated it as a kid. It was my least favorite as a kid. Like when I was a kid, I only watched Return of the Jedi. That's pretty much it. Yeah, I would watch The New Hope sometimes, but mostly Return of the Jedi. Why? And the reason was because I hated the lightsaber battles. I just like space battles. And Return of the Jedi has the best of them all.
Oh, that makes sense.
And that's completely different than with the prequels. Now, with the prequels, I like the lightsaber stuff more than I like the space battles.
Right. See, and to me, episode 4 is the best one, so whatever.
Okay. Well, this is my number 5, so bite me.
But it's not on my list at all, so whatever. All
right. So we're at what, number 4 now?
4.
All right. Well, my number 4 is Sunshine.
That's what I forgot to put on my list.
That movie is amazing. I love watching it just to watch it and enjoy it. And I love it. Right. Because I think it's also one of the best science fiction films.
I absolutely, completely agree.
It's just absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I just love that film. I think it's visually stimulating.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful. Yeah. Everything about that. I want to hug it.
Yeah, I'm going to switch Stargate out and put Sunshine in.
You can't now. Stargate's already on your list.
I know, but I've watched Stargate like 20 times, so I can't really take it off my list either. So, All right, my number four is Dune.
Ugh, the original, like this.
The original David Lynch Dune.
Ugh.
I still love that movie.
You lost 3 points today.
I'm sorry, I've read the entire series of books, and Dune is still, you know, I saw it pretty early on when it came out, and I still have nightmares about the scenes with the Harkonnens, but
you're weird.
God, it was gross. It was so gross. Oh,
you're weird.
And Sting. Oh, no. And no, I love it. I love it. It's on there and staying on there forever.
Oh, man, we're well on our way to not having a friendship anymore.
Fine, whatever.
Whatever.
Keep Dune.
Keep your stupid Dune.
I will.
You realize, like, when aliens invade, they're going to look for the people who like Dune first, right?
That's fine, because they love us more.
No, they're going to nuke you.
Nope.
Be like little mini tactical nukes on little, like, bumblebees. They'll teach bumblebees to carry the nukes to you.
No, it had an absolutely brilliant cast. It's a great story. I don't see why people don't like it.
Maybe because it's a bad movie.
It is not a bad movie. It's a slightly cheesy movie, but it's not that bad.
I've never seen it, so I shouldn't even talk.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I just don't. I don't even like the Dunes that they made on the Sci-Fi Channel. I just found
those are totally different. Totally.
Find it all boring. Like, I just fell asleep.
No, at least watch Dune.
I just didn't know why.
At least once.
All right.
Just once.
Whatever. All right.
You're making me watch Battlestar Galactica. Watch Dune once.
I will when you get to season 4.
Read the first book, too.
Yeah, I own it. I'll read it at some day when I'm dying.
All right. All right. So my number 3.
3.
Strange Days.
I've never even seen that.
I know, and you seriously have to see it. This movie convinced me that Angela Bassett should play Storm, for one thing. I fell madly in love with Ralph Fiennes after this.
Ralph Fiennes! Woo!
Exactly. It's the only movie I've ever respected Tom Sizemore in. Because he's kind of a sleaze. But God,
he's totally a sleaze.
He's freaking brilliant in this movie. The entire concept is just, it's genius. I don't know if you know what the concept is, but it's genius. And it's how technology can change the world. And it's gorgeous. Gorgeous movie. You have to watch it.
Well, I will consider seeing it.
Plus, it's one of Kathryn Bigelow's earlier films, and she's the Hurt Locker, you know.
I don't really care about
the Oscar for it.
She sold 3 tickets for that movie, so whatever.
Whatever.
I just don't care.
It's a freaking good movie.
Won a bunch of Oscars or whatever, and it's just like, that's great, but
you're... Because it deserved them.
Not really.
Yeah.
Should have given them to something else.
What, Avatar? Because that was the second up.
Nah. What was the other... What else was there?
I don't even know.
Was that... This was the year after Dark Knight, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So District 9. Or Moon.
No.
Yep. Sorry. Both of those are better than Hurt Locker.
Whatever.
Anyway, my number 3 is Inception.
Acceptable.
No, absolutely awesome.
that is a good number 3.
I may see it a third time. I don't know yet. If I can find something to go with me.
I watched Star Trek twice, so whatever.
Yeah, well, Star Trek's an awful movie, so.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, what's your number 2?
My number 2 is Star Wars: A New Hope.
See? And I totally agree with that one. I love that one.
I like it. I like it quite a lot. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was a groundbreaker. You can't really...
Oh, absolutely. I know. I'm the Star Wars nerdy guy on this podcast. I've seen the documentaries, like all 5 of them.
Yeah, I feel kind of sad for you.
I don't. They're actually really interesting. It's really fun figuring out how the hell they build the Death Star and then blew it up. It's fun.
Yeah, no. It is a great movie, and I can't argue with that. I just was never a Star Wars nerd. Although,
I know, but that's because you grew up as a communist, and the communists don't have Star Wars.
Exactly. So. My pediatrician had a room. One of the doctor's rooms was decorated in Star Wars.
Woo!
It was totally awesome.
Yeah. All right, so what's your number 2?
The Abyss.
That's all right.
No, it's not all right. It's
I don't think that deserves gorgeous. To be in at number 2, but all right.
No, I absolutely, obviously, I'm kind of a James Cameron sort of girl.
Yeah, you are.
But no, The Abyss, I think it's maybe just because it's the same reason I like Waterworld, except that The Abyss is actually a good movie.
Yeah, because Waterworld's awful.
Exactly.
You right, told me you like that it. Movie.
I love it. It's awful, but I love it. Okay.
No taste.
The Abyss,
no
though, taste. For one thing, again, it was James Cameron pushing the technology levels to new heights. It was incredibly well done in that. It also has Michael Biehn, so that helps.
Yeah.
If I could put, actually, I'm perfectly happy even putting Terminator on my list, just so I have 3 Michael Biehn movies.
No.
I'm good. But no, The Abyss, it's the fact that it's underwater, the fact that it's in submarines. I was obsessed with submarines at the time. I wanted to be a sub captain when I was a kid. So maybe that's why. But I love the story. I love the ending. I think it's just, it was so inspirational.
I just think of the misogyny in that movie.
Why?
Because he beats up a woman.
You're kidding me, right?
He beats her up in a bit.
To save her life.
That's fine. But you know what? Sleeping Beauty got raped. That doesn't make it right.
That's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
She gets sexually harassed to save her life.
Oh my god.
Seriously, did she ask for the kiss?
I'm not even talking to you.
Apparently, no. Jen's okay with sexual harassment and
I'm okay with
women.
With abuse, yes.
Yeah, Abyss was probably the reason they made Lifetime.
That's dumbest argument ever.
But it's funny.
Misogynist film, what?
Anyway, you're number 1 then.
My number 1 is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That's not just a good movie. That was the most inspirational movie of my childhood.
All of your damn movies are, it's inspirational in my childhood.
It was. That's what I grew up watching these. You have to understand that I started watching science fiction films way earlier than you did. So they actually had an effect on my childhood.
I was born in Star Wars.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was, because one of the Star Wars movies came out during...
I think that's the problem. You only watch Star Wars, whereas I was actually watching good movies.
No, we already established you weren't watching good movies. You like Waterworld.
That totally came out later. When I was a kid, I was watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, The Abyss, you know, Short Circuit, Cocoon.
Yeah, I've seen all those movies too, so.
I was Dune. I was watching thinking science fiction movies.
I was hanging out at NASA.
No, you weren't.
No, dead serious.
Okay.
I lived on a naval base where they had the Ames Research Center.
Oh, right.
And I used to go there with my friends to the NASA Center. So.
I'm very happy for you. I didn't get a research center. All I had was movies. So I watched things like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
And over and over again.
Well, that's all great, but it's not as cool as NASA.
Yes, it is.
I got to see Star Wars get made.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What's your number one?
Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Oh, my God.
I love that damn movie. I don't care what people say about it. I don't care that the Ewoks are like the dumbest little furball things ever. And that the...
No, they're not.
The whole idea that they could beat the Empire and all that. Like, I don't care that that's illogical. I love the damn movie. It's a great friggin' movie.
I'd like to agree, except that I definitely like A New Hope more. It's when I was a kid, I liked Return of the Jedi more, though, so.
No, New Hope isn't as good as Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it totally is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It completely lacks the mythology.
That doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
It's not as good.
Ugh, you and your Star Wars mythology drive me crazy.
Star Wars is the amazingness. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Close Encounters.
It's not better than Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Close Encounters.
In fact, Close Encounters would probably maybe be in my top 20.
It better be in your top 20.
But it wouldn't be in the top 10.
Okay. That's fine. I think it's one of the best sci-fi films of all time, personally. But not just my favorites, but one of the best.
I know, but we determined that you don't have any taste. I mean, you've liked a lot of bizarre, really bad movies.
I do like a lot of bizarre, slightly bad movies, but...
Really bad movies. You probably liked A-Team.
I haven't seen the new one. I did like the show, but that doesn't count.
Yes, it does. That was horrible.
All right.
That's our top 10. You can let us know what you think we did wrong. mostly Jen did it wrong.
No, I didn't.
No, actually, I think we both effed it up real bad.
Probably. Most people would totally disagree with us.
I think so, yeah.
I was going to put a Clockwork Orange in there, but, you know.
Well, but again, remember, these are lists that are our favorites to watch.
Right.
Like, they're not, like...
This would be a totally different list if it was the actual best.
Right. My list is totally different than this.
Important, etc.
Yeah.
Top 10, but...
Yeah, half of these movies would not be on...
No, more than half.
Oh, about half of mine would not be here.
Half of mine, probably.
Yeah, I would move half. Maybe a little under half. But I would shift them. They would probably shift differently.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, so we're going to come back with our reading, writing, question-y, questions thingy, and I am incapable of talking today.
That's okay.
Are you sure?
You're usually incapable of talking.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, all right. I will be back. And we're back with our reading and writing section. So this week I'm actually reading something that isn't the same thing that I'm reading every week, which is a change, because usually I just say the same damn thing every time and I feel really bad about myself. I actually just picked this book up on a whim. It's called Harmony by Project Ito, or Ito, although his real name is, oh goodness, where is his real name? Keikaku Keikaku. I can't pronounce this. Japanese. Keikaku Ito. He's a Japanese fellow from Tokyo, obviously, if that's in Japan. So he's Japanese. And he passed away in March of last year. And he wrote this book called Harmony. And I just started, and I'm only like 5 pages in, and I'm already like, this is really cool. It's got nifty, like, cyberpunky, like, he has HTML coding in his text, and it's, like, really experimental and fun. Which, yeah, so that's kind of why I picked it up, because I was, like, really fascinated by it. And, of course, I'm still reading some of the same stuff, although I did pick up some interesting other books that I've been reading on, like, indigenous cultures and one on, like, futurism and whatnot. Specifically it's on space as sort of like the new Western frontier.
Ooh.
Which is kind of interesting, but it's starting to lean away from what I need it for my papery thing that I'm working on. But yeah.
That's too bad, seeing as how you have things like Firefly and Cowboys and Aliens.
Right, but I'm focusing on Caribbean science fiction, and I'm trying to do something that fits with that, so it's
frontier doesn't quite work with that.
Well, it does, but it's more what the frontier represents, not so much what it actually is.
Right.
Because what the frontier represents and what it actually is are completely opposite things. Because for example, when you look at like the actual Western frontier, from a sort of metaphorical or whatever sort of standpoint, it represents that sort of freedom and, you know, all of these sort of like, you can make something of yourself, you can go be rich and free and yada, yada, yada. But the reality is it's completely opposite. It's
right.
Actually this kind of terrible,
icky, lawless, icky place to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm working with, is it's very interesting. There's this mentality that space is somehow, that's the escape. And yet you get up there and you realize it's just like the frontier. It's not so nice. West.
Right.
It's that actually very bad. So, yeah, so that's something I'm kind of working with. But, yeah, so what are you reading?
I finally finished Perdido Street Station. In the space of 24 hours after I finished Perdido Street Station, I started and finished The Road and what was the other one? Yeah, Cormac McCarthy's The Road and The Hallowed Hunt by Lois McMaster Bujold.
Lord, you were reading really quick.
Yeah. A little bit. That's what I do. I told you I was like slogging through Perdido. It took me weeks. So I was like, it built up all this reading, and you know, I was like, oh my goodness. And then I literally 24 hours finished them both, and they were both fantastic. I really enjoyed The Road, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book. It's overrated, yeah, but it's good.
Definitely dark and. It was a dark and stormy night. Anyway, I've now just picked up Kim Stanley Robinson's. I decided to start with because I have his climate change trilogy, but I decided I was going to start with The Years of Rice and Salt, and I'm looking forward to the alternate history that he has presented in that book. Although I was slightly disappointed to find out that when you know. It says alternate history. It means that it's actually going back in history. I was hoping for a modern take on what the world would be like if the Black Plague never occurred. Not a medieval take.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a little bit disappointed in that aspect, but I think I'll get through it anyway.
I'm sorry.
So yeah,
that's
what I'm reading. It's very exciting, and hopefully I will finish that in 24 hours, and then I can move on to the next book.
Yay!
Yay!
That'd be good.
Yeah, I need it.
Why don't we give them the question of the week? This should be real fun and speculative and violent. So you give it to them. I'm like getting excited. I'm like,
yeah, this was Duke's brainchild.
No, it's all you. Don't look at me.
He wants to all me. I'm not the one that wants to apparently kill my family.
I didn't want to kill my family. I didn't
No, you apparently wanted me to kill my family because you were asking. The question, you would totally want me to kill my family because you want to like get into my life and marry me or something because you're a creep.
I would never marry you. That would be like,
it's a subconscious manifestation of your love for me. Anyway,
psychoanalyze me, you weirdo.
The question of the week is, in a future time. So be a futurist with this one. How would you murder someone?
Yes.
What fanciful way can you think of to off someone in the future?
Yeah, we want
you wanted it to be your family that we were asking about, but I figure just being a little bit more general is slightly less creepy.
Well, you okay? You just say in-laws.
You don't have any in-laws. Most people don't have in-laws.
I know. I'm just not fortunate enough to have in-laws.
Married fogies have in-laws. So yes, tell us how you would off your family in the future.
Yeah, and you can do that by emailing us at skiffingfanti@gmail.com, sending a voicemail at 206-203-1686, leaving a comment on our evil WordPress page, which is skiffyandfanti.wordpress.com, or you can send us a little at message to our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/skiffyandfanti. So any one of those will work. Send us something violent. Think like Saw. Like, those are real clever ways to kill people. Like, how would you do it in the future?
I do it with lasers.
Like Saw 2100.
I do it with my octo-shark. Sharktopus.
Sharktopus.
I genetically engineered sharktopus.
I think I might clone somebody who would be really annoying in a group. And then send them after someone.
Annoy this person to death. Aha!
Just send, like, 2,000 clone Sean Connerys in his older years.
I might die laughing if that were the case. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, insanity.